Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Guri Varada Pidana Vallabha Giri Varada Ji
Pidana Vallabha
Giri Varada Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Tamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamunatiravana chari Gopirana Vallabha Giri Varadhari
Gopirana Vallabha
Giri Varadhari Gopirana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana
Yasoda Nandana
Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanasari Yamuna Tira Vanasari
Hare
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Stata Sata Sisimat Esti Vaingre Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai His Confounder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Sila Haridastaku Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadhi Gaur Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Shri Krishna Jamashtami Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Shri Krishna Jamashtami Kri Krishna Jamashtami Shri Krishna So Hare Krishna The day has arrived, we are ready to celebrate Lord Krishna's appearance. I have chosen a text from the Bhagavatam, which is taken from the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna while he was still in the womb of his mother Devaki. The text itself, this is taken from the chapter, the text itself describes a little bit about Krishna's appearance. So let us start. Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Saha Viprat Purusham Dhamma Vrajamano Yataravi Durasado Idurdhasho Putanam Sambhavuvaha sabri pat purushang dhamma. Vrajamano yataravi. Durasado ti dudasho. Bhutanam sambhavaha. Sabibrat purushang dhamma. Vrajamano yataravi. Durasado ti dudasho. Bhutanam sambhavaha. Yes, please, someone else. Saha.
He Vasudev.
Vibhrat.
Carried.
Purusham.
Pertaining to the Supreme Person.
Dhamma.
The spiritual effulgence.
Vrajamanaha.
Illuminating.
Yata.
As.
Ravihi.
The sunshine.
Durasadaha.
Very difficult even to look at. And difficult to understand by sensory perception.
Atidudashaha.
Approachable with great difficulty.
Bhutanam.
Of all living entities.
Sambhavaha.
So he became.
Ha.
Positively.
Positively.
I should give you a little preview so you understand the context in which this verse takes place. We know that Lord Krishna appeared to Devaki and Vasudev in the prison in Mathura. They were prisoners of King Kangsa. At least that is what the non-Braj Bhakti Valas say. So we will keep to this explanation. Translation. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudev bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. And thus he became as bright as the sun. So Krishna is now in Vasudev. And Vasudev is as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable even for such formidable men as Kamsa. And not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities, he was unapproachable. The Sanskrit word dharma was used here, and Prabhupada is now talking about this word. The word dham is significant. Dham refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, dhamna svena sadani rasta kuakam satyam farang dhimahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuvakam. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, by his name, form, qualities or paraphernalia, immediately becomes a Dharma. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dvaraka Dham, and Mathura Dham, because in these places the name, fame, qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead are always present. It's interesting, huh, how Srila Prabhupada speaks of these different dhams or residence places of the Lord. The Lord was not visiting these places and then disappearing from these places. No, he actually stayed there, and it is possible to meet him at his home in Vrindavan Dham or Mathura Dham or Dvaraka Dham. The Supreme Godhead is always present there. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dharma, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies, but also people in general are astonished to observe his activities. Because he is unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder, as explained here by the words Durasado Tidurdashaha. The words Purushang Dhamma have been explained by various acharyas. Sri Viraragava Acharya says that these words refer to the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And another acharya, Vijayadvaja, says that they signify Vishnu Tejas. And Shukadev says Bhagavad Svarupa. The Vaishnav Toshani says that these words indicate the influence of the Supreme Lord's effulgence, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they signify the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pratanine Niveseja Sunyavari Askatyare Sadarine Jai Krishna Jai Tanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishwatam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Tina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Ganjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Anamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, let us again hear this verse. I personally feel that this verse is very important, and actually I should tell you why I have chosen it. It has become for me increasingly important as I grow older in this movement. I knew now more than 40 years in this movement, that is older than many of you who are still so young and fresh and are around 25 or 30 years or at most 32 years and so on. No? Well, I'm 40 years and plus in this endeavor, and something has changed which from my younger days to my older days, which you should know when you hear this lecture. There came a time in Krishna consciousness where I just was hungry for the information. What's this? It's all so new. And let me understand this. And reading every type of book about it. The universe, some of you know, I'm almost... I'm so curious that it's almost an unholy curiosity which possesses me. I want to know everything in detail. And so that was what I call the information-seeking stage of Krishna consciousness. But I did find out that informations alone don't help a person to become Krishna conscious. I could see this by the many devotees who were great scholars and pandits, but who did not have a sense of deep realized Krishna consciousness. I could see this and by the devotees who tried to keep Krishna consciousness as their path, but after a lot of struggle, they finally gave it up, at least temporarily. Information alone is not what we are seeking for, which helps us in our spiritual life. It's transformation of the heart, a change of heart, as Prabhupada says. And I became very much interested in this aspect of life. And therefore, when a person like me celebrates Janmashtami, I'm not, I mean, I am interested in all the details of Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago, but I'm most interested at this stage of life in how I can come closer to Krishna and how I can actually experience him. And then I'm very interested in verses like this, where the appearance of Krishna is described as a thing which happens in the consciousness of a devotee. In the verse before, this verse, Prabhupada said that Srila Viraragava Acharya, great Acharya, says that the appearance of the personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada quotes five sources Vidaraghava Acharya, Vijayajaya Acharya, Shukadev, the Vaishnav Toshani, that's a dictionary, and Vishwanath Chakravarti, who says that this important verse, Purushang, or important word, Purushang Dhamma, signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a personal phenomena, where all of a sudden the influence or the effulgence of the Supreme Lord appeared in one individual, that is Vasudev. No? So here, let us now listen to this verse. Savibrat purushang dhamma brajamano yata ravi durasadoti dudasho bhutanam sambhavuvaha. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, that's usually the Hridaya Akash, you know, the that place in the heart where spiritual realization takes place. Vasudev bore, this bore means to bear, to carry. Vasudev carried the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable. No one could come close to him, and unperceivable, no one could see him even, even for such formidable men as Kamsa. And not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. It's described that Vasudev, when he carried the Lord in his mind, became just so effulgent that the devatas were talking about him. What is happening with Vasudev? Look at him. Something great is about to happen. We think the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared in Vasudev. But it remained a speculation until a mystical transference took place, and Krishna, or the Lord, was moving into the heart first of Devaki, and then into the belly, the womb. The devatas just at that time gave up their position on the higher planets, because they could see there was such an effulgence in Devaki, there couldn't be any speculation left. This effulgence was the effulgence of their worshipable Lord. And they came down into the prison cell and began to offer their prayers to the Lord within the womb, and also to Devaki and Vasudev. So this Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada says at one stage, means to repeat this event. He says, Krishna consciousness movement means to practice in this life how to enter Krishna's family. What do you think, Kalakanta? To practice in this life how to enter Krishna's family. Isn't that a wonderful motto? Madhavananda, what do you think about this? It is, you know, we want to participate in God's life. That's what we are about. We have a high goal, Prabhus. Remember this. And he says at another time, it's in a lecture which he gave at Mayapur. It's one of my favorite lectures. If we take Krishna's shelter, he means Prabhupada, if we become actually surrendered to Krishna, then all the power of Krishna is behind you. And in this age, Krishna is so very kind. Even though we cannot worship Krishna properly, still, anywhere we can chant the holy name, Hare Krishna. And then Krishna is there with all his power. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. You know, just try this. Prabhupada says, try this. Don't be a dull institutional good for nothing. You know, try in your spiritual life to lead a divine life. That's very important. Try to experience Krishna and how Krishna is behind you with all your power. Give your life for this. It's worth it. That Krishna appears as an awakening in your consciousness. Hare Krishna. So I would like to talk a little bit about this. I have some very, very interesting informations for you, which I think you will, if you hear to this, which you will talk about the whole day and tomorrow also, because this is really great information. See, all of us, when we hear about these high goals, have to ask the question, how is this possible for me? And we have to, for a moment, confront our human reality. When a person is born in this world, he is not born alone. He brings his karma along with him, and the reactions to these karma. This is not a cruel thing which we should be very sad about. It's just a factual thing. You know, this universe works according to this law of karma, where we do certain activities and then obtain the reactions as an almost pedagogic means to find out truth. When we act like this, then this is the reaction. All of us have come to this human form of life by these laws of karma. We have acted in certain ways previously, and therefore we have obtained a body as a result of these activities, which can teach us something. There is one book which I studied when I was still hungry for information. It was the Vishnu Sanghita. And there in this book, you can learn from, by looking at your body or at other people's body, what they did in order to get this body. You can study, you can look at a person, and you could look, Amarananda, let me zero in on you. Okay, legs are there. Okay, so I had five paradigms which I used now to look at Amarananda, and I know, kind of know, why he was born in a desert country, Persia. I know something about his how he works in relationships, and three other informations. But obviously I won't tell this in a public lecture, because that's private stuff. But you can study this book. Amarananda is relieved. One day after his marriage, this would be a little, you know, no, don't worry, I'm from a cultured family, somewhat cultured family, you know. So there are certain informations. When you look at my body, for instance, you know, here is a person who in his past life was very, very, very active in many, many experiences, and so on. I will not tell you by what you can see that. If you want, you can study the Vishnu Sanghita. It was embarrassing for me to study this book, because I did many mistakes when I was young, in my previous life, and then I turned to be a very religious man because I really went too far. And before my religious life, and then I was, the later half of my life, I was extremely religious and pious. But yes, that was after I made many mistakes, and these still carried into my this incarnation, these mistakes. So yes, we all, and it's good that these reactions are there, because then we can learn to act properly and to use our relative life, that's the life in this world, to do good and to avoid mistakes and to grow also from our mistakes and our experiences, the good experiences. So we all have karma, and these karmic reactions, my dear devotees, they are binding us, they are influencing us, they are informing our decisions, the way we act, and our habitual life, you call this, the way we think, the thought patterns, and also the way we act. So these karmic reactions hold us and condition us almost like chains which are wrapped around our body and which only allow us a very limited free space for action. When we were on Harinam, I was thinking about this, when we came to the Pranga of Trier. Pranga of Trier. Pranga is a very difficult word to translate into English. You know, in the medieval time, when you had done something wrong, you were brought to the Pranga. That means in the midst of the marketplace, there was a wooden pole, and there was a chain, and you were chained on your neck, and everyone... and you had something around you which said you broke the principles with your neighbor's wife, you know. That was very clearly visible, and people would go past you and spit in your face and beat you. This was the way of dealing with people. Do you remember when we did Harina? And there was this wooden pole with the two iron collars and the chain around it. And you remember how I was so curious to find out that I was leading, but I couldn't contain my curiosity. I went and studied this for half a minute, because I was thinking, how can people be so cruel to do this? Prabhus and Matajis, we are all on the pranga of material life. We all have an iron chain around us which allows us a little limited movements, and someone who has studied Vishnu Sanghita knows why we have this iron chain, why we are so limited, why we are so bordered in our lives. Yes. So sometimes devotees have said properly, Sachinandan Swami, they said, or even in Prabhupada's times, we came to Prabhupada and we said, how is it possible for us? We are so karmically bound. We are chained to a pole of our karma, and we are not able to move freely. But a very important principle of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna can destroy our karma. He said, Prabhupada writes about this in when he talks about Krishna's inconceivable potencies. Please listen. A description of Krishna's power in minimizing the sufferings of sinful reactions is given in Brahma Samhita as follows. Beginning from the great King of Heaven down to the end, everyone is undergoing the reactions of past deeds. But a devotee of Krishna is relieved from such reactions by the grace of Krishna. This was clearly proved when Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, to reclaim the dead son of his teacher. Krishna's teacher had requested Krishna to bring back his dead son. And to do so, Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj, Vaidavananda, what is the town called of Yamaraj? Something Sam, huh? You said it to me. Yeah. It starts with S.
And it ends with
poor. Maybe that's enough for us to know. S poor. S poor. You know.
Samyamanapur.
So Krishna went to this SS town, Samyamanapur, to claim the soul of his teacher, who had been brought there by Yamaraj and was being kept under his control. Krishna immediately ordered Yamaraj, be benefited by my order and return that soul unto me. The purport of this incident is that even a person who is under the regulative principles of the laws of nature, karma, huh? And is therefore punishable by Yamaraj under these laws, can be granted complete immunity by the grace of Krishna. Complete immunity from your karma by the grace of Krishna. I request you to study this, and in our last katha, in this time, there will be many more coming, but for today, it is described that when Lord Krishna was in his brahmachari student time, he studied the 64 branches of the Vedic knowledge under his teacher and guru Sandipani Muni. Like any brahmachari, Lord Krishna went out to beg on behalf of his guru Maharaj, and it is described that the people who saw Krishna as a brahmachari gave everything they had in their homes. In this way, Sandipani Muni's ashram became full of things, and Sandipani Muni gave all the things away to the people like a proper Brahmana. So Krishna ended his student time and came to his guru and said, what do you want to have as guru dakshin? And Sandipani Muni, who had noticed the extraordinary nature of the two students, Krishna and Balaram, consulted his wife, Devi, the two, the black one and the white one, want to give us guru dakshin. Let us ask them for something special. Do you have any suggestion? And his good wife said, I'm missing my oldest son very much. He went to the ocean to bathe and swim, and since that time he has not returned. Ask the two to bring back our oldest son. So Sandipani Muni said, I know you are special. And Krishna looked very shyly at the feet of his teacher. He never looked in his face. He was just very, bring back our dead son. Krishna said to Balaram, let us go immediately. And they went on a golden chariot, they went on a chariot to the ocean, and they looked at the ocean. I like very much how Krishna told Balaram when they looked at the ocean, about the ocean. See, he said to Balaram so sweetly, the ocean is coming close to embrace us by his rolling waves. He's smiling at us by his foam. And do you see these dolphins in the waves? They represent the nostrils of the ocean who wants to smell our divine fragrance. So when Krishna talked like this about the ocean listened, and he thought he's so personal, and he came out in a form, in a personal form, to bow down to Krishna and said, "Please, my Lord, order me. Why have you come here? What is your wish?" Krishna said, I want to get the son of my teacher who came here, who swam here, and who afterwards was disappeared." The ocean said, "I don't have him. On the bottom of me there lives a demon called Panchajanya, who lives in a conchal, in a big conchal palace, and he has stolen your teacher's son." So Krishna said to Balaram, "Just wait here." And without any experience in snorkeling, he went down to the bottom of the ocean. He confronted the demon, and he fought with him when the demon attacked him and delivered him. But the sun was not there. So Krishna came out of the waves of the ocean. He must have had a wet sikha when he came out. The water was dropping down his beautiful body. Balaram was still waiting. He said, "Balaram, he's not there. He cannot be found. I found a demon who attacked me, and I delivered him and took the concha, but we must now go to..." Samyamanipur, the town of the dead. We must go to the place of Yamaraj. Come along with me. And both of them went to the nether worlds. Now Krishna, when he went confronted the demon, had taken this conch shell, and in his lotus hand this conch shell turned into a beautiful white conch shell. And when Krishna came before the gates of Samyamanipur, he blew it to the conch shell. Let us just hear this sound, then we wake up also. You might have, it's important to hear this. Oops, that was not how he blew in the conch shell. That was also not how he blew. That's a killed elephant. Thank you, Ganada. Thank you. Like, what's wrong with this culture? I need to make the sound for a certain... Krishna. Much better. He blew in this conch shell. See, why do we blow in the conch shell? It's described that this sound, when it is properly sounded, drives away all inauspiciousness which is in the atmosphere. So when Lord Krishna came and blew into the conch shell, the most sinful people in hell heard this. They were just tortured and they gave up all their fear. The fires of hell became peaceful. The torture machines fell apart, unrepairable. The needles with which these poor sinners were needled turned blunt and lost their power of stitching. And the oil in the pots where they were cooking just evaporated, just by Krishna's presence and by the sound of his conch shell. This auspiciousness came into hell, and everyone could see that there were vimanas coming down. They had never been seen before in the hell, and they took the sinners and brought them to a very auspicious destination. Everyone was liberated except for one. That was the son of the teacher. He had a lot of karmic reactions. So when Yamaraj heard the sound of the conch shell, there was an unlimited flow of tears coming from his eyes. Patrick, you have to hear this. His hairs were standing on end. He trembled. And the perspiration was so rich that it formed an ocean. And Krishna, who looked at Yamaraj, said, "Everyone says he's so bad. I see a great devotee. Why do I hear about his bad character? In front of me he's behaving properly. His cruel actions are suitable in relation to this punishing the sinners." This is very important. Yamaraj only takes people who are opposed to me and who don't surrender to me. But he's a devotee, look at him. So when Yamaraj saw his Lord standing there with a conch shell, he spoke. He said, "There is no limit to your mercy, but I know you have come for a certain reason here. If it was just to free the sinners from hell, you would not have needed to come here, because your holy name alone is powerful enough to deliver anyone from sinful reactions. You have come here to give me your darshan. I know this." And he fell down crying uncontrollably before Krishna's lotus feet. And then he said, "Now you order me." By the way, in Vaishnava circles, you always find this. When devotees come to a superior devotee, they pay dandavat, and then they usually say, "Now please order me. Give me your order. What should I do now?" They say like this. This is a Vaishnava etiquette, to ask the superior Vaishnava for his guiding instructions and what is his wish. Krishna said, "I came here to retrieve or to get back the lost son of my guru. Do you know he must be here?" Yamaraj said, "He is here, but you know, if you bring him back to your guru, the guru will be shocked because almost nothing is left of his body. He was killed by this demon Panchajanya, and he came here due to a lot of sinful reactions. He is cut up, I have a disciple who is a criminal police officer, and has told me sometimes when you come to the area where a criminal deed has been done, you need sometimes psychological counseling afterwards, because if you see the victim, it's just, you can never forget it. It's sometimes people act so cruelly towards each other. So the Yamaraj said, the body which your guru saw his son in has been destroyed. And Krishna said, that's all right. All the five elements can be gathered together again. No problem for me. So Yamaraj then brought the dead son, who must have been in a serious condition and who was under serious treatment in hell. He brought him, and Krishna quickly gave him a very suitable body, a body like the, so that his teacher would again recognize him. And then Lord Krishna took this son with him on the chariot, and he went into Avantipura to go to his teacher. So you can imagine, there was Krishna on the chariot, and there was Balaram, and in between was this soul, the teacher's son, and they come into Avantipura. The city is full with people. Everyone has heard about Sandipani's extraordinary request, and everyone who of the citizens who already knows Krishna and Balaram from what the people talk about is now standing at the main road, a long, long line of citizens, because they heard that Sandipani asked Krishna to bring back the dead son of his dead son. And they were sitting near the road with excitement, wondering when will Krishna and Balaram come, and will they have the son? And then they hear the sound. And they become ecstatic. Krishna and Balaram are announcing themselves, and then they see Krishna and Balaram and the sun, brilliant, because now he's touched by Krishna and Balaram in the middle. And Krishna goes very slow through the crowds. They are cheering, they're throwing flowers on him, and they go to the ashram, and there they ask the son to go down first, and the wife of Sandipani Muni sees her boy and just embraces her and kisses him, and this way Sandipani Muni then is a bliss, and Krishna and Balaram says, give us permission, we need to return to Mathura. Sandipani Muni says, my soul has natural affection for you too. I have such affection for you that my intelligence is embarrassed for asking you to bring back my son. I put a condition on our affection. I'm sorry. I pray that you, the black one and the white one, members of the Yadu dynasty, be my students in all my future lives, and that we be your gurus and parents in all the coming lives to come. This was Sandipani Muni's request and his wife's request. My point here is very simple, that Krishna came to this boy who had a very bad karma apparently, otherwise he would not have been in hell and wouldn't have had such a terrible accident where he was, his body was just attacked by this monster from the ocean. And still Krishna showed for all of us that he is powerful enough to deliver us from the karma. So yes, it is not an easy process to become Krishna consciousness. Yes, our karma is there, which allows us only a limited space to act in. But if we decide to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet and act on in this way, then the karma can be reversed. I want to tell you personally from my experience. Sometimes devotees want to know, you are an older devotee, how was it in Prabhupada's time? I think we were the most immature bunch of people you can imagine, we Prabhupada disciples. I have a totally different view than many of my God brothers who like to remember these old times. If I think of the mistakes which I did at that time and which I saw being done, I can just shudder. But there was one thing which we had. We had a tremendous amount of Guru Nishtha, faith in Srila Prabhupada. We would do any and everything for him. We really took somehow shelter. He had convinced us, and we really lived very much connected with him. And because of this connection, Krishna could act through Srila Prabhupada and let us do things which are just inconceivable. If, for instance, we travel now around Europe and see the huge projects which were started at Srila Prabhupada's times, these building castles, you know, which are, in Italy we have a huge villa which is just so huge you can get lost in it when you don't have a guide guiding you through the rooms, you know. These huge projects and huge visible things by us who were really very immature in spiritual life. How did this happen? It didn't happen because of us. It happened despite of us. It happened due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, which could work because we had taken shelter. We had faith. We had so much faith. I remember there was this lecture where Prabhupada talked about inconceivable things. And we heard it in Germany, we heard a tape, and there was a newcomer. It was about, you know, huge beings who flew from planet to planet, and I mean, really things which I don't even dare to say in modern ISKCON. And I remember we sat there, and a newcomer was asking, do you believe that that's possible? And we all said, Prabhupada said, we have learned so many things from Prabhupada, and they worked, you know. The chanting purifies the mind. We didn't think it's possible. So that must also be possible, but it's beyond our perception, beyond our means of understanding it with our ant-like brain. This was our very simple faith. We had taken shelter. And do you know what is happening if someone has Shraddha? The fruit of Shraddha is Virya, is strength. This you can find in Vyasadeva's commentary to the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. If someone has faith, then he has Virya, or strength to do the extraordinary, to have the extraordinary life. But if someone doesn't have faith, then he is thrown back, zurückgeworfen in German language, to his own limited abilities, which he has according to his karma. You know, whatever his karma is, that's what he can do. And that is where his activities also stop. He can't act beyond his karma. So, but by this little thing of Shraddha, this faith, you gain that type of awakening of consciousness, which then makes it possible for Krishna to enter into your heart and have his appearance there, and then you have this Vishnu Tejas, the strength which is beyond your karmic strength. It is an extraordinary effulgence. That's why when you meet a devotee who has this faith, they always have so much effulgence. Have you noted that? Usually we can see this in our young bhaktas who have so much faith, you know. They have this effulgence. You can, if you have these, you know, Gadadas machines, you know, this time waver machine, you can measure it. It's something which comes from the people. Because you only need a little faith, and then, zack, your effulgence is there. You know, your strength. It's a certain strength in the consciousness. Now, if you have, of course, a lot of faith, and you are very advanced in your Krishna consciousness, then Krishna might come into your heart and make his appearance. But before Krishna comes, his effulgence will come. You hear this in the rasa-laden literature. You always hear when the devotees see Krishna, first they see something like an effulgence from his toenails. They see how the forest of Vrindavan is changing by the effulgence of Krishna who walks towards them. Or they might hear the sound of Krishna's anchor bells first. Krishna is coming, announces himself. It announces itself, the coming of Krishna, by that effulgence which happens in the heart, in the core of the heart. So on this appearance day of Krishna, I very much beg all of you, I request you, please turn to Madan Mohan, please pray to him, please even tell him about your present challenges which you face in your spiritual life. You know, the things we have to overcome to make our next step in our spiritual life. Tell him, and he will certainly give you his mercy. It's his appearance day. He's very happy that we all come together and celebrate his birthday. He's happy. He's just simply happy about those who come to celebrate his appearance day, and pray to him, and the Lord will certainly appear in your mind in some ways and give you directions in your spiritual life. Purusham Dhamma, the spiritual effulgence of Krishna consciousness, will work wonder and will empower you to do extraordinary things. I would like to end again with this statement, which I think you will relish much more when you hear it the second time. If we take Krishna's shelter, if we become actually surrendered to Krishna, then all power of Krishna is behind you. And in this age, Krishna is so kind. Even though we cannot worship Krishna properly, still anywhere we can chant the holy name Hare Krishna. And then Krishna is there with all his power. Nam Prabhupada said at another place how to chant. He said, this was at another time, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. You know, this is so simple. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Of course, you have to chant sincerely if you want to hear yourself chanting sincerely. And then this does happen. Did you like this about how Krishna went to the hell? It's a proof how he can change the karma. That is a proof. He has inconceivable potency. But do you know one secret? Secret. When Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with a rope around the mortar, and Krishna had already felled the twin Arjuna trees, at the moment there was no one around. A few little friends of Krishna were there, but not the grown-ups. And Krishna was just standing there. He was still tied to this mortar. And Krishna was thinking to himself, I'm still tied to this mortar. Although I can break the bonds of karma for everyone, I just can't break this little rope because it was put by my mother. Krishna will break all ropes, all karma, everything, but never will he break the rope of love. Never. He was thinking to himself like this. I can break everyone's karma, but I just can't tear this rope. This little rope can't do anything against it. It's for my mother. She loves me. I will not break this. This is our Krishna. And, you know, with such a loving Lord, why should we not take shelter? Why should we not cure our faith issue, you know, our faith issue. We should do that. See Krishna's Jamashtami celebration ki jai. Go Premanandi Jai Go. Dobro. So let us see, we have 15 more minutes for questions and answers. Do you have a question? Gaura Hari has a question. Tushta Krishna has a question. Okay, let's start with the two. Vajanat also. Hopefully. Yes, Gaura Hari, what is your question?
My question is concerning this main point of Krishna taking away our karma. I think sometimes we might develop a doubt after some years in Krishna consciousness that we feel, oh my God, this karma is really at me, it just doesn't go. Although it seems we are trying quite good from our side, but it seems Krishna did not come yet to take it. So my question is, did he take it away and I created some new one, or should I just wait that it will go? Or do I need to do something very specific so that Krishna will come and take it? How will that work, that really Krishna will take it away?
These are the type of questions which I think of every day, by the way. My conclusion on this question, have you all heard Gaura Hari's question? No. Gaura Hari's question is, because I will think while you ask your question very deeply, something more. Ask your question into the microphone, please. Yes. Ford, maybe you can be our microphone man. Yes.
So my question was concerning this main point on Krishna taking away our karma. And I can at least see from my own life, and I guess many devotees also we are practicing since few years and sometimes, and it seems that this karma is sticking, that Krishna did not take it away. Yet, although sometimes we feel, oh, good, now I'm well situated, everything goes, but still, this karma is still there. So the question is, how that work? Is Krishna maybe took away my karma and I just proved in the meantime, or should I just wait 5 more years or 10 more years and this karma will be gone just by the practice? Or do I need to do something really specific or really special so that Krishna will come and take the karma? So the root of the question is, what should we do so that it will work?
Give me my microphone now. I want to talk on this. Now what you will hear is the answer of a faith, of a devotee who has faith. I encourage you, discuss this question. Also go to the super critical people, we have a few in Germany, discuss with them about the question. It's a very important question. The super critical people might have good points to say. They are good devotees. To be critical is not a sign that you are not a good devotee. It's a sign that you think and you just cannot believe it. I would like to answer to this question. I want to give two very, very practical answers. I want to give a philosophical answer and a heartfelt answer, okay? So listen very carefully. I will also not talk very long. You have to be a little sharp now. In the scriptures, it says that the karma of the devotee changes, and how it changes is illustrated with an example. The example which is given is when you take a piece of paper and put it into fire, the fire will transform the paper into ashes. However, for some time, the form of the paper will still be visible in the fire. So when it says Krishna changes the karma, this means you may look still like Jean-Philippe Walser, and you may have certain characteristics from your mother's side or father's side. No? You will look alike, some total of karmic body will still be there, and the mental body will also work in a certain way. However, the substance is changed. The form, what we perceive, is still there, but the substance is changed. For me, this is an explanation why Prabhupada always spoke so high of us and called us pure devotees as long as we followed the process. He must have seen something and we must have seen another thing. He must have seen the devotional part and we must have still seen the habitual sides and the things, the external appearances of personality. As someone who is going through Krishna consciousness with I have become a very critical person, I must say, in my thoughts, towards many aspects of our movements. I have thought and thought again, why is this the way it is? Why is it not the way it should be, and so on, and looked for explanations. I can only honestly say that even though a devotee sees himself as being a normal person, there is something else working which he may not always be conscious about. And what is working, I want to explain now in my second part of my answer. There is a devotional side now in the devotee. he turns to Krishna, he prays to Krishna, he struggles with spiritual issues. This is now there, this is new there. But if the devotee continues to identify himself with this ashen form, this apparent form, then he is in trouble. It's a question of identification. Of course, in some type, some change type, we are still external. Like for instance, I can still remember some Rolling Stones songs. I can remember, it's not gone. I was a little active in that world, you know. But that is the ashen form of Thorsten Pettersson. It's still there, the shape, and so on. But in it is something else, something. And I have to see with which do I identify. That is my decision. Do I identify with the ashen form and go back into and revive that with my strengths? Or do I go back, do I stay on the devotional side and revive that with my strengths? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the devotee has two bodies, not one body, two bodies, two, not one, two. By material activities, he gives nourishment to the material body. By performing devotional service under the guidance of his spiritual master, like he mentioned, singing, chanting, worshipping, he nourishes the spiritual body. And it's your decision with which will you identify. You have two. There is the Philip Vasa, the ashen form of Philip Vasa, or whatever is his name, I don't forget. Actually, I remember from, because we always book airplane tickets, and I remember your name from that. You know, two, Gaurari. It's important. If you can only remember the word two when you leave this class, you know, then you have an answer to your question. And it's your choice which one will you strengthen. Sometimes the ashen form gives a little trouble, diseases, mental things, and so on. And here comes now my experience. My dear devotees, listen, you have to be frank and open, and you cannot pretend that the other form is not there. And I think here is a great, great point. Don't pretend the ashen form or ash form is not there. It is there. And it does have influence. Therefore, don't think of yourself as a saint, and don't present yourself as a saint. It's not true. There is the ashen form still there. It's, yes, there are some good things. Therefore, a devotee should not pretend to be Ramanujacharya or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or something else. He should remain humble. I am a Westerner. I have a poor sanskaras. This is still there. It's still with me. The ashen form is still with me, like the turtle's shell. But I have a chance to identify with the spiritual body. And here comes, if you have faith, then you will do it, and you will get the strength. If you don't have faith, you will connect with your ashen form, and you don't have that type of strength which you can obtain from your spiritual body. Strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. It's all about that. The faith will become at one stage nishta, unshakable, and then the real life starts. But even on the stage of bhava, when you are so glowing with spiritual energy, if you connect with the ashen form, which is there, I call it the shadow in my language, which is always with me, then Sometimes, but that's the subject of another class and deep, deep reflections, sometimes it may be important to look at the shadow and to deal with the shadow on the level of the shadow. But this is a very controversial subject matter, which I think is very important, but it needs a lot of maturity to deal with this point. A lot of maturity, because when you face the shadow and deal with the shadow, you need to be strong. Your faith needs to be very strong. It's a frightening thing, this Eshan form. So, this was my answer. I'm sorry, but I thought this question was so important for all of us that I took extra time on answering it. There's much more to be said. I encourage you, ask this question to many devotees. Don't just get your answer from one shop. This is a question where you need to go to many shops. Because some personal wisdom is also required for this. So I would like to close here. It's 9:30, and I want to keep the timings of the Jamashtami celebration. Wish you all the best to nourish your spiritual body. This is the day, Gaura Hari, and all of us. Thank you for your very honest question, very important question. And hear a lot of Krishna Katha. A lot of Krishna Katha makes us so happy in our heart. And we think Krishna is wonderful. And that's the whole idea, that we think about Krishna. then Hogya is done. When you can think of Krishna, when Krishna enters your mind, it's done. Krishna! So, who is there? Bhagavad Dharma. Keshava. Oh, Krishna Keshava. Krishna Keshava. Where are you? He is arranging something. We want to know what is next.
Then Keshava Prabhu is not there.
Oh, richtig, 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 richtig. Oh, gut, gut. Ich habe es fast vergessen. Next is, my dear devotees, I want to ask you to now get the switch. I have to say something very important, something which is very much in my heart. I'm very joyful about this. This Goloka Dham project. We are having this project now. Do you remember how many years, Bhagavad Dharma?
Since 1995.
How many years are that? 16 years. We are 16 years old here. We have celebrated our 16 years. We come out of the teenage phase. This is what 16 years means. And this project has gone through many different changes, and we are very happy that it is now on the level where it is. I don't want that Bhagavad Dharma gets a red face. I don't know if this is possible. But it is, really, we have to say Bhagavad Dharma came in, and Bhagavad Dharma has a heart as big as the universe, and has taken such good care, taken responsibility at a time which was really not so easy, and has brought the project to a wonderful stage. We even have a new well. I don't know if you know. We have a well. We get our own water from underneath the ground. And we tried one time, we were not so successful to hit the water, because you really need to hit it. And we have a well. There are many, many things which work here. We have bees here. Bees are good. What you confront are wasps. They are not bees. Bees are very good. They even fly into Krishna pastimes. But the wasps are also there. Yes. But anyways, we have guest house here. And what we think personally as the most important thing is we have this wonderful worship of Radha Madan Mohan, where we can. No, I didn't want to speak about you. This is the wasp. We have this worship which goes on a very extraordinary standard by Rupa Goswami. Now, previously we used to have many Sankirtan devotees. Now we have a few only who would maintain the project. And to maintain the project, we have designed this project Krishna's Freundeskreis. You can enter a circle of Krishna's friends where you support this project with a monthly donation. That's the idea. Now, because of the development of Krishna consciousness, I wrote to the university in Frankfurt. They asked, what's new with you? And I said, we have become a congregational movement. Most of our members don't live in ashrams and temples, but in family life and worship Krishna there on their home altars. Because of this development, which it's not always easy for the few devotees who are left on the project to maintain the project. And therefore, we are very much eager to increase the friendship, the circle of Krishna's friends. What this means is that we want to request you personally that you give a little push to your heart and decide to be more connected with the project. We really ask you for this. You may say, no, they asked me for money. That's also there. But the idea is connection. Therefore, Krishna's friendship circle means that we send you every month prasadam from the altar of Radha Madan Mohan and news what's going on in the project. We think this project must come to the next stage where more devotees begin to identify with the project and think, this is my project. I want that the worship of Radha Madan Mohan goes on. I like to get that monthly connection by eating the Lord's Mahaprasad. And they have durable Mahaprasad. If you eat every day, it's a bag of nuts. And you can, this is what I do, I eat every day one nut, or when I'm very greedy, two nuts. In this way I have every day Madan Mohan's prasad in my sinful Western body. So this is the request. We request you to be connected with us and to render a little service by a monthly donation, and which is won't kill you. It's little, you know, and so on. So this is what I wanted to say. I have been requested to say this, and I'm also in this project. I'm giving also Lakshmi to this project. If I would tell you, you would faint. So on. So I request you really to consider this seriously. Here's Bhagavad Dharma. He also wants to say a few things with his smile, which is as big as the universe.